Right. So, like I said, it's really good to see you guys both in here, but it also speaks to the need. So if you're available, they could always use some help with the kids here and there. So, all right, like I said, it's going to be a little bit shorter today just because we went over all the camp stuff, but I think that stuff's important. So we'll take about the next 30 minutes here, and we'll start getting in on this. I don't know that we're going to get through it. Actually, I'm pretty positive we're not going to get through this because it's a really long chapter. So if you got your Bibles, flip over to Genesis chapter 24. And I know you're thinking, well, wait a minute, because last time we were here, we did 22. And I don't want to jip Mark on his money. You know, I want him to get it what he paid for every chapter. But in case you're wondering, Genesis, I promised you we would get through it in a year. And there's 50 chapters in Genesis, and I'm right on track because by next week, we're going to be halfway done. So I'm ahead of schedule, which I know you didn't believe. I think things may slow down when we get towards the end, though, so we'll see.
But you shouldn't be ahead because you keep
skipping chapters. I've only skipped like one other one, and I'm getting ready to tell you about what happens in Genesis chapter 1. I'm not skipping it. I'm just going to get through it in like 3 minutes, and then we're going to move on. So we're rolling through Genesis and just kind of overview. And I'm trying to pull things out that are practical as we go, but I'm not like doing this verse by verse because we could be here for years, right? And so basically I want you guys to get the gist of what's going on and also find something for you out of it. So Genesis chapter, we finished chapter 22 last, or 2 weeks ago, right? Because we had church in the park last week, which was good. And it's where Abraham finally gets things right, right? I think him and he finally, just right there before he dies, he finally gets things right, you know, because we went over all the different struggles he had, and I think he finally had it figured out when they get to the chapter 22 where he offers Isaac, right? And I'm not going to reteach that because you can go back and list it if you need to, but it's good. So right after he finally gets things right, you know, because I think this is what happens. A lot of times, if you're doing everything right in the Bible, God doesn't have a whole lot to say. There's not a lot of things recorded, right? Generally, it's when people are doing something that's really dumb that's like, hey, I'm going to write this down so everybody can learn from it, right? So there's a lot to learn from at the beginning of Abraham's life because he wasn't doing things exactly right most of the time. And I don't want to go back over all that. But so then he finally gets things somewhat figured out, right? And I'm not saying that he had arrived or anything else, but he was God's chosen man, right, for a chosen time. And he's the father of the nation of Israel, right? And so he's doing something through him. And so he's tempted. He offers Isaac. Like I said, when we were going through it, I'm pretty sure he was willing to completely kill Isaac if had to, because he believed that God would raise him from the dead. He even says that in the book of Hebrews. He was willing to just completely offer it. So, and then right after all that, and so he's on the high. And so I'd say some years pass, but not a lot. You get to chapter 23. And so let's read the first few verses and the last few verses, and I'll tell you what happens in between, just so I don't jip you on chapter 23. It says, this is right after he offers Isaac, everything's good. Chapter 23 and verse 1, it says, and Sarah was 107 and 20 years, she's 127 years old. I think it was time, right? But she's 127 years old, and there was the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kirjatharba, the same as in Hebron, the land of Canaan. And to Abraham, and Abraham came to mourn Sarah and to weep for her. So his wife died. All right. Fast forward to verse 19. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah and his wife in the cave of the field of Milpekah in Mamre, and the same as in Hebron in the land of Canaan. And in the field in the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth. So Sarah dies at the beginning of the chapter. And the whole middle of the chapter is about, hey, I need a place to bury her. I need to buy a field for her. Well, I don't want you to pay for it. Well, I'm going to pay for it. Well, this is what I'm going to buy. This is where it's at. Okay, and then he buries her. Okay, that's why we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on the acquisition of a place to bury his wife. It's important to God because it's in there, but I'm fast-forwarding through it. So that is chapter 23, okay? We're done. There's a chapter a day. Let's go. Huh? There you go. That's the... So we roll into chapter 24, and so for as little as going on in chapter 23, there's a lot going on in chapter 24, so I don't know that we're going to get through it, but I've taught through this once, even since I started Passport. When we were teaching through the marriage stuff, I taught through this chapter, so I'm kind of using some of the same outline. I wasn't going to, but then as I started outlining it to get ready for this, it was pretty much the same thing. It's weird. My mind hasn't changed a lot. So we're going to talk about some marriage stuff, but here's 12 questions for people to ponder on before marriage, right? And so, like I said, we won't get through them all. But as we go through this, here's just 12 questions to ponder on before marriage. And you might be like, well, I'm already married, so I'm going to sleep. No, you're going to have kids that are going to get married, right? Or you're going to be ministering to youth kids that are thinking about getting married. Or whatever it is, this doesn't ever get old. I can never get tired of, some people really love teaching on end times. Or some people really love teaching on Old Testament. I mean, I really love teaching on marriage. I don't know why, I just do. But there's a lot here. So Genesis chapter 24, let's pray and we'll get rolling because it's already almost time to be done. Father God, Lord, I love you, Lord. I thank you for just your son. Lord, I just thank you for giving us reason to get up and do what you've called us to do every day, Lord. I thank you for the youth camp that happened this past week and everybody who went and was involved and that invested their time and their money and investing in my kids and just the youth around the church, Lord. I just pray that this week wouldn't have been just one of 52, that it would be a week that jump-started some people's hearts for Christ, whether it be student or adult, Lord, and that that your word would just be real in their lives. So I just pray that the feeling that those who went to camp this last week would be the feeling around the church, Lord. I pray that it would jump-start a movement just within the body of Christ, Lord. So, Lord, I just thank you for people who are willing to go and to give at the youth camp. It makes me think of people like Lauren who are willing to go and give just her whole life to minister to you, Lord. We just pray for the things that she asked us to specifically pray for, Lord. And we pray for traveling mercies as she travels home. Lord, we've only got a couple more weeks. I'm excited to see her, to hear from her, Lord. I know we are as a class, Lord. We pray for the youth that she's discipling, Lord, the things that she's trying to get wrapped up before she comes home with the children's teaching, Lord. And Lord, we just pray you just give her discernment in her life as she just moves forward. So Lord, I pray that you just set aside a little bit of time that we have left after hearing about the youth camp just to hear what you have to say to us out of Genesis chapter 24, Lord. So I just pray that you just move me out of the way and you just speak in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so Genesis chapter 24. I'm just going to kind of read through this, and we'll go through it as we go. So most of you guys know this story, familiar with it, right? So Abraham dies, or he hasn't died yet, but he's getting ready to die. His wife died, and once your wife dies, there's not a whole lot of reason to live, right? So so he's like, I got to get some things taken care of. So you've got Isaac, and the last time you heard about Isaac, he was getting ready to be sacrificed, right? But we also learned about Isaac that he was a very submissive kid, right? Because at the time, he would have been a whole lot stronger than old dad, right? But he was just willing to go with it, whatever was going to happen. So that's how that deal all went down. So Abraham's like, I got to get him married off before I go, because who knows what's going to happen after this. So that's kind of what's going on here. So let's kind of go through this, and we'll roll from there. Trying to keep, the clock is really jacked up. It's really jacking me up. Okay, Genesis chapter 24, verse 1 says, and Abraham was old. Well, we already all knew that, right? He's old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. Well, we knew that as well, right? When he finally got things figured out, the Lord was blessing his life, right? And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, so this guy was over everything, right? Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. That's interesting. And I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of Canaanites, among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go into my country, into my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. Right? So, other than the weird, hey, put your hand under my leg so we can pinky swear or whatever they're doing here, hey, it's culture, guys. You just roll with it. Other than the, whatever they got going on with that, he's concerned about his son, right? And he's concerned about, so this doesn't even have anything to do with you getting married, right? And but it has a lot to do with just being concerned about those that you are with. I'm concerned even today about the people that my sons will marry, or more so the safety of the man who thinks he's going to marry my daughter, right? So, but No, you have to be concerned about these things. And so in the context of marriage, here's the first question. Do you know what you're looking for? Now, whether if you are married, it better be who's sitting next to you, because if it's not, you got problems, right? But do you know what you're looking for? And Abraham knew what he was looking for with a wife for his son, right? And it wasn't, now I know, shocker, don't be mad, it wasn't the most beautiful woman that he could find for his son. It wasn't even the most spiritual woman that he could find for his son. It wasn't that she was from a wealthy family. It wasn't, all of these things, the things that we think about when it's like, hey, who are you going to get married to? Well, she's going to be good looking, and hopefully she comes from a family with money, right? No, that's nothing to do with the case of what's going on here, right? That there should be one thing that you're concerned about with your kids getting married, with who you're going to marry, with anything else, and that is, are they on the same page with you when it comes to Christ? Because if they're not, you're set up for a lifetime of heartache. It's just the way it is, guys. That's the one thing that you've got to be concerned about. More than I'm concerned about my boys going off and getting married and being happy, I'm more concerned about you better make sure this girl knows Christ, because if not, you're going to struggle. Because I know the struggles of a man, and the woman's going to get what she wants to get, and you're not going to be following Christ very good if she's not. And I'm not saying that he follows her, but I'm just saying there's manipulation that goes along with all of that. So I'm concerned about those things, and that's what Abraham was concerned about. He wasn't concerned. He wanted nothing to do. Remember way back in, I can't even remember the chapter, God calls Abraham and says, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house. Hey, we're going to move you to this other land. Remember, he goes, he does all these things. Well, they're in the land, and Abraham's like, hey, I need you to go and find a wife for my son, but it can't be from this. It's got to be from our people, right? When you're looking for a wife, when you're looking for a husband, when you're searching out the right person for your children, and then I know that we're not just going to go out and pick our children's spouse. It's a different day and age. I get that. But we need to have one thing. They've got to be of our people, right? They've got to have that same name, because if not, you're setting yourself up for disaster, right? So do you know what you're looking for? Because if it's beauty or fame or fortune or any of those things that the world wants to marry for nowadays, it's the wrong thing, right? So do you know what you're looking for, right? Abraham's like, there's one stipulation here. She needs to be a woman, and she needs to be from our kindred, right? That was the stipulation, right? Okay, so moving on. In verse 5, right? And the servant said unto him, because I already know what this guy's thinking, it's going to be really hard for me to go and convince a woman who's never met your son to leave her family, everything that she's got, and come to this land that God called us to. So I'm just saying, Abraham, what if she's not willing to do this? Then what? Right? Because that's what the guy's thinking. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into this land from whence thou camest? It's good King James right there. I love it. I love it. Right? So if she's not willing to come here, because I kind of already see the writing on the wall here, can I take Isaac to her? Because that's going to be a lot easier. Right? So that's his question. And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, he's like, you need to beware. God's wrath is on you if you take him out of here. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from my land and my kindred, and which spake unto me and sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land. And he said unto the angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing, turn the page, to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. He's like, there's only one reason that this is not going to happen, is if God doesn't let it happen. You're not taking my son anywhere. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under his thigh, right? This is what we do. This is what we're going to start doing. You want to promise something to me right here? And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning that matter, right? Okay, so here's the second question. Do you have any water? Yeah, thank you. So here's the second question. No, I'm kind of got like a throat issue going on, and it's like the more I talk, it's getting worse. Probably good that I'm not going for a long time today. Here's the second question. If you're thinking about it, to ponder on before marriage, right? Do you trust that God's in control? Now, you might be thinking, well, yeah, I'm already married, so I know I married the right one, right? But what about with your kids? Well, I'm worried about my kids marrying the right person, or I'm worried about my kids. At the end of the day, do you trust that God's in control? And I know what you're thinking. Well, yeah, duh. We're at church. I obviously do here. No, do you trust that God's in control? And you might be like, well, I'm not so sure about who they married, or I'm not so sure about who they're thinking about marrying. Do you trust that God's in control? Kids are going to be kids, right? I've seen kids that we worked with in the high school class that I thought were on fire, right? And they're not. They're just kind of so-so. But you know what? I trust that God's in control. I trust that God's going to work these things out. I trust that the Word of God is engrafted in these people enough that, you know what? They're going to make the right decision. I trust those things. I trust that God. So do you trust that God's in control, right? The servant's like, I know what you want to happen here, Abraham, but what if this doesn't work out like you want it to? Because this is asking a lot, is what he's saying. And I'm not sure that she's going to be like, oh, yeah, let's just go. I don't know what he looks like. He may have two front teeth missing, but who knows? You just don't ever know. But you know what? Abraham trusted that God was going to. He was like, you know what? I tell you what, servant, right? Doesn't even say his name. I tell you what. For one, don't take my son anywhere. But if she's not willing to go, then okay, fine, we're good. But he trusts that God's going to be there. He trusts that God's going to go before him. And that could be with anything in life, right? Whether you're going on a trip, whether you're going on a mission trip, whether you're going to youth camp, whether you're getting up in the morning. At the end of the day, I trust that God's going to go before me. I trust that God's got things worked out. We had some things go down at work this week that I was like, there's not a lot of things. I'm pretty even keel guy. I don't get real high on things. I don't get real low on things. That's just me. And some of you are kind of laughing because you're like, yep, that's just me, right? I got some news this week that is like, I'm pretty sure I had to pick my jaw up off of the ground. I'm like, whoa, okay, we'll see how this works out. I don't know. But so I trust at the beginning of the day that God's going to go before me. And whatever's happening, you know, I was sitting out on the back porch because that's what godly people do, is they sit on their porch. It took me a while to realize this when we built some porches for Tom, that's what people do, is they sit on their porch. And I'm just kind of like praying about some multiple things this morning, and I'm like, God, I don't know what's going on, but I'm sure you've got a plan bigger than me, whether it's to do this or to do that. It doesn't really matter. I just trust that you've got this, right? And I'm just going to roll with it. I'm going to keep doing what you told me to do, and that'll make things a whole lot easier than getting all worried about things or getting all excited about things. It doesn't matter, right? It's the same thing with my kids coming back from camp all excited and like, praise the Lord that you're on fire right now. I'm going to let things play out for a minute, right? And we'll let things see how they go. Now, I'm not going to discourage anything, but I just want the Lord to work and not me to work or my wife, so any of that. So that's kind of where I'm at, sharing a lot of personal stuff, but anyway. Do you trust that God's in control, right? You may think that you found Mr. Right or Mrs. Right or whoever it is. You may think your son or daughter's dating the perfect one. Just trust that God's got it, all right? And that he's going to take care of it. Because at the end of the day, you can't change it anyway. So just trust that God's got it, okay? So he's like, okay, if she doesn't want to go, that's fine. Okay, so I think this is my favorite part of the story. And you may not get it, but this is like my favorite part of the story, because this servant, this guy's a wise dude. This guy is a wise dude. Okay, so verse 10 to 14. It says, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master. Now, let me just stop and ask you, why do you think he needed 10 camels? He's going after one woman. Why did he even take 10 camels? This guy's got women figured out. This guy has... I'm going, but I'm not making two trips. I'm taking the U-Haul with me, because I already know how this is going to go. If she does agree to come, I'm not coming back for all this stuff, right? He's a smart dude. He's planning. And the servant took 10 camels of all the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, into the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening. even the time the women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down my pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that shall that thou hast appointed for my servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. So he's kind of a lot like Gideon right here. He's like, so this is exactly what I want to happen. I don't want to be confused here. I'm here, God. I'm going to pray about this, right? I'm going to pray about this. So here's the third question you got to ask yourself. If you're thinking about marriage, if you're thinking about marriage for someone else, or what, just something to ponder on before marriage. Are you praying about it? Are you praying about it? You might go, well, yeah, I'm praying for God to bring me a good-looking woman, one that'll cook my dinner, no, that's not what I'm asking. Are you praying about it? Are you praying that God's going to work these things out so you don't have to? Are you praying that God's going to bring you the right man that wants to get up off the couch and do something so you don't have to do everything? Are you praying that God is going to work these things out? Because this guy gets there, and he's like, okay, I'm here. Abraham sent me. Now what? Because there's a lot of ladies coming down drawing water. Do I just pick out the cutest one? Do I pick out the one with the least stuff? I mean, what am I looking for here, right? So he does the wise thing, and he prays about it. He's like, okay, God, here's my question. And because I'm guessing this servant, he's a lot like me sometimes. He's kind of the slow kid in class is what it seems like. So he's like, I want you to be completely specific with what I'm doing. I want the lady that I ask for water, I want her to take the pitcher down, offer it to me and my camels, and, you know, just bam, bam, bam. And if all these things don't line out, I'll know it's not her. Okay. He's very specific in the way he prays. Are you very specific in the way that you pray? Right? I remember when I came back from London last year, and this was, I would say it's odd and it's a coincidence, but I don't really believe that those things happen like that. That exactly a year ago is when things with my job changed drastically, right? And so the company was changing, and at the time I thought I was going somewhere else. I thought it was my time was done in the sand business, and I would have been okay with that. But anyway, I remember praying, even having Paige pray on the way back from London, that whatever happens, God, just be very clear about what you do. I don't want there to be, well, you could do this or you could do that. Or I was like, just make your answer 100% clear. That there's no question about, well, should we do this or should we do that? And that's kind of what this guy's praying. He's just like, whatever it is, God, just be completely clear about what you're doing. I want to make sure that what we're doing is the right thing, right? So I want the lady who, when I say this, she does this, she does this. It's like Gideon with the, well, I want the fleece to be wet. Well, now I want the fleece to be dry. And he's just like that, right? Are you praying about who your kids are going to marry, even now? You're like, well, my kids are like four. You're going to get some extra prayer time in, right? It kind of freaks me out that my oldest is 14, right? And if I do the math right, I got married when I was 18, so I don't have a whole lot of years. I hope, not that I didn't marry the right woman, but I hope he's a little bit wiser in the fact that he lives life a little bit. Not that that's what I would have wanted to do, but that really could have been taken wrong. I'm sorry. That's not what I meant. Well, I just mean more of, I want to make sure that... Just stop, he says. Insert long pause here. No, but you want to get as much prayer time in as you can. Whether you're single and you're considering marriage, or whether you're praying for your kids, you want to make sure that that is God's hand on it. Because believe it or not, we, especially as Americans, are really good about rushing into things and just doing things willy-nilly, and I'm just going to do it, and you know, it'll work out, right? Just anything, we're just going to do it, right? So are you praying about it? Because this guy was praying about it. He had it figured out. And so, all right, we'll get to one more point here and we'll have to be done. Sorry. We're just not going to get through. I didn't want to rush through it. That's just the way it is. So you have to come back next week. or listen to it. Huh? Well, you can read the story, but okay, so verse 15. And it came to pass, so this guy prayed, this is what I'm asking for. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, he was still praying it, right? He couldn't get the words out of his mouth. Before he was done speaking, that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder, right? I think we should do that. We should carry our stuff. And the damsel was very fair to look upon. Not that that's what he was looking for, but God thought it necessary to throw that in there. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her, and she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. Here's the next question, the last question for today to ponder on before marriage. Are you staying pure? Right? Are you staying pure? And you might be like, well, how does this guy know that she's a virgin? Well, in other cultures, depending on your dress or it changes the way they do things, right? Even in when we were in India, you know, you get to a certain age and they no longer wear, you know, they start wearing the saris and the whatever else. And I've read, right. And so even in some cultures, I've read that they wear earrings in their noses or whatever. And so whatever was going on in culture at the time, he was able to discern by looking at this woman that she was a virgin, that she was not married, that she was all these things. So so here's the next thing to ask yourself. Are you staying pure? Because it's going to be really hard for God to send the right person into your life if you're living like a rascal, if you're living like you shouldn't be, if you're doing the... If you're ready, if you're prepping yourself for marriage, if you're prepping your kids for marriage, and I know you can't look over their shoulder 24/7, but are you raising them up to be pure, to be ready, right? That's the next thing, because this woman was. She had no idea this guy was coming. She didn't know. So she could have just been another one of the women doing what they do. I don't know. But she was staying pure. And because of that, well, look here. This guy's here. He happens to be like the top servant of the richest guy in the world at the time. So are you staying pure? Because if not, things aren't gonna work out for you, right? So you got to take care of things now before God's going to take care of things later, right? So, okay, it's really a weird spot to stop, but that's where we're going to have to stop because we're out of time. So it was really good to talk about camp, guys. If nothing else, pray for what's going on out in the moldy trailer. And I shouldn't say that because they say there is no mold anymore, but pray for what's going on out in that trailer, because the youth they're growing, guys. And sometimes, you know, they're the weird kids that are in that transition stage, but you know what? They just need somebody that loves them. They need somebody that just wants to love them like Christ would. And you're like, well, what does that mean? I don't know. Just do something with them, right? Just be willing to invest in them. Be willing to talk to them. Be willing to whatever. Be willing to go to camp with them and say, you know what? I know I don't have any vacation time or I don't have very much, and it's worth it. I don't know that I have ever been to camp, and we've probably been 4 or 5 times, and ever went with anybody to camp that was like, it wasn't worth my time. God wasn't there. You know, I was getting more God in the world than I was down there, right? It's awesome. So just pray about what's going on with the youth, because God's doing something. And just remember, you can only do so much. So the best thing you can do is invest in them, because they're going to be able to do more than you can. They're younger than you, right? I'm finally starting to realize that the older you get, the less you can do. It's just the way it is. My back hurts. They can do more than me. So invest in them, right? All right, so let me pray and we'll get out of here. Father God, Lord, I love you. I thank you for just today. I thank you for the Passpoint class and the heart that is behind what you're doing here. Lord, this is just a group of people that are willing to just go and do whatever you call them to do, whether it be hold a baby or go minister at camp or go halfway around the world or just anything in between, God. You've just really assembled a group of people that I love being able to invest the Word of God in them, and I just pray that you just continue to use them, to bless them, Lord, just to keep them safe, Lord. We just pray for Lauren once again as she's getting ready to head back. I pray that the transition would go well, that the flight would go well, that all those things would go well, but more than anything, that she would be able to just impart what God has done in her life into us, and would keep us fired up about the will of God, that you would just continue to give her discernment as she decides what's next, Lord, and whether that's to be a full-time missionary, whether that's to be a full-time missionary here at Heartland, Lord. Lord, that's the question we all have to ask ourselves. So I just pray that you would just give us discernment. Just go before us this week. Use us as lights in a dark world, that we would just be ambassadors for you. Lord, just thank you for those who are here and those who aren't. I just pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. All right, thanks, guys. I'll see you next week.